You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, that could be our theme song every week, every year for all the 16 and a half years we've been on the air. Certainly tonight, thank you for tuning in this Saturday evening, February the 27th. We are entering into uncharted waters, as we have been discussing. And before we go into 2 months of special series, if we can make it that long, and we're hopeful that we will. We believe that we will. We believe not only that we will grow stronger through this adversity, and the audience and God himself will help us through it. But our plan is for the next couple of months in March, our march around the world, where we feature elected officials and thought leaders from Western nations outside of the United States. We're going to go to Canada. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to go to Australia. And that's coming up in March, a special series. Very much looking forward to that. And, of course, April is traditionally, and will be again this year, our Confederate History Month series. So I wanted to bring Jason Kuna back on the show tonight for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can never get enough of Jason Kuna, of course. He is the author, advocate, and YouTuber who teaches us how we can go free. How we can embrace an ideology of no white guilt. And he's going to take us on a journey tonight of through losses, victory, and redemption that lead us to our ultimate victory and us taking America back. But first, Jason, I know you are aware of the adversity the political cesspool has been thrust into, and you have a message to the audience before we get started.
Yeah, James, thank you so much for having me on tonight. And it's critical that everybody who's listening to my voice now or in replay understand that we have to rise to the challenge. The bugle is playing for infantry, and it is time that, in infantry and all of the old movies, they ride over the hill and they come to save the day. The anti-whites are moving against the political cesspool. They're moving against all of these white sympathetic spheres all around the world right now, and they are deplatforming, they're demonetizing, they're taking our voices down, they're cutting our tongues from our mouth. The political cesspool has been there for us, and they have faced challenge after challenge over the years, and they have found ways to circumvent, to undermine, to get around, to overcome everything that the anti-whites have thrown at them. There's a situation now where they receive, as you all know, they have a certain regular set of donations that come in monthly. They count on this money to come in to be able to have the liquidity to run the machine, to run the engine that is the political cesspool, the high-octane, rich engine that it is. And they need that liquidity to be able to function. The anti-whites now have robbed their ability to take these sums in on a monthly basis, on a recurring basis. And so now what that means is if you out there are one of those folks who understand the importance of a message that you can trust in the media, an official voice in the media that you can trust, you can put your faith in, that won't be anti-white, the commercials that run here are not anti-white, that these people have provided a valuable service to you and that they have provided you an understanding of the world. They have broken down the affairs of the world so that you understand what's going on in your life, and reciprocity then calls upon you to take that step up. Many of you have taken the step up, and that's why you are monthly contributors to the political cesspool. The anti-whites have stepped in to rob you of that ability to be able to just not think about the fact that you're giving this monthly sum and just go about your business. Well, you're going to have to sit down, and you're going to have to take a couple seconds of your time, and you're going to have to write that check. You're going to have to step it up, and you're going to have to send whatever that would have been over the course of that X amount of time that your funds would have been going to the political cesspool, and you're going to have to get that money to them now. There are other things out there as well. It's not just about losing one of the sprockets on the machine that the anti-whites are up to. There are challenges that are going to be yet to come. And if we're going to survive, it's only going to be by sticking together and supporting each other. Everybody has a role. Some people are going to be brilliant, and they're going to be on the radio, like James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Sam Bushman. Others, the rest of us are going to be able to distribute leaflets. We're going to be able to talk to our friends. We're going to be able to be deep thinkers and write books or whatever it might be. Some of us are going to be able to financially support. And those of you who are able to do so, you need to pause in your life right now. You need to realize that it's blowing for the bugle right now is blowing for the infantry. And that means you. That means you got to get up on the horse and you've got to ride to the rescue of the political cesspool, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, all of the great work that they've been doing so that this work can continue to be done for you, for all of us, so that the anti-whites can't have another victory. I'll say this. You could stand by, and this is not the kind of thing that a Westman does. And I know the ones out there who are proud, who are honorable, who are the best among our best, they're going to step up, and they've been doing the right thing all along. But now is the time for every single one of us. If you've ever asked yourself before whether or not you should get something for nothing, and you have been getting something for nothing, now is the time that you're going to have to step up and do something in return for the political cesspool, for these great gentlemen, and the work that they have been doing for you. I know that we can count on you to step up now when the anti-whites are grinning smiling up and rolling up their sleeves and delighted with what they've done to the political cesspool and what they've done to others, Henrik and Lana, Mark Collett, and others, just under ceaseless attack by the anti-whites right now since Biden got into office. Do not allow them to take down one of your favorites, a member of your family, and that is the political cesspool.
Jason, let me just tell you this, my friend, and I say this with all earnestness and all sincerity. If I had the talent that you have to deliver a message, I would have really made something of myself, and we would have left a mark. I'm telling you, this guy, I love Jason Kuna. That's why we invited him to speak at the last Political Cesspool Conference. This guy is one of the best we've ever got, and I knew you wanted to deliver a message in solidarity and support as we are a band of brothers, but what you just said touched me to the very core. Every bit of good feeling and goodwill I have had towards you has been exponentially grown in just the last few minutes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my friend and my brother, Keith.
Well, Jason is the Energizer Bunny of our movement, okay? He continues on, but everything he says is better than the thing he said before. I mean, I've never seen anybody with more talent.
He is such a talent and such an advocate for our cause, one of the very best, one of the tip of the spear. We're thankful to be able to work with him. And we're thankful for his message tonight. We stand together. We stand in solidarity. We stand as brothers. Thank you for being a brother, Jason. We'll be back. We're going to talk about our very special book incentive, one that Jason wrote right after this.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution is so many times, at all times, and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Is it the final countdown for Western Kind, as Jason put it? And that is the final countdown by, appropriately enough, the band Europe, as it were. No, I don't think so. I think our greatest days are still ahead of us. I believe that, Jason, with every fiber of my being. I think we're seeing the trends of it already. The fault lines are beginning to manifest themselves, and it may get worse before it gets better. I don't deny that. It may get much worse before it gets better, but that's okay because we shall overcome. You mentioned Lana Lochte. Look, what we're up against, you've been up against it, Jason. We were able to play the game of whack-a-mole for a long enough time to stave it off somewhat longer than some.
But you know what it all shows, James and Jason? It's John Donne's famous off-quoted comment, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, right?
Well, Lana, I was actually, Lana was texting with me a couple of weeks ago. We were texting, and she was asking what I was up to. I said, we're actually out of town, we're on vacation. She said, you know, there's no vacations in this movement. I can't remember if I've told this story on the air yet, or if it was to somebody over the phone, but if I've told it once, I'll tell it again. And she's, of course, quite right, Jason, as you well know. There's never a night off. I mean, and literally, there is never a night off. I am up burning the midnight oil so often. And you're always eternally vigilant for the next attack. And as a matter of fact, even while I was on that particular family vacation a few weeks ago, we were under this assault. We had learned about this deplatforming about a month before we shared it with the audience. This is actually the first time we've shared it with the audience. So I was dealing with that even while I was texting her, even while I was on vacation, and trying to juggle it all at once. So that's where we're at. And that's where we are. But so we have these quarterly fundraising drives, Jason, that is the lifeblood of TPC. And for the first time in 16 years, this first quarter fundraising drive, which kicked off yesterday, which we run every March, every June, every September, every December, quarterly fundraising drive for TPC is our lifeblood. And so this was a particularly important one because this is the first quarterly fundraising drive in 16 and a half years that we have not had credit card processing capabilities. And so I wanted to offer an incentive that really matched the circumstance. And I came to you, Jason, and I came to your book, Crucible. And as you told me, as we suffer within a society increasingly obsessed with an un-American ideology that uses white guilt, intimidation, isolation, and character assassination to break the wills of those who dare to dissent, you have an inspiring true story for them, Jason. Crucible, child patriot American victory. And it takes us on a journey of oral and physical combat, of losses and of victories, of self-doubt and of courage, and ultimately it provides us with the roadmap to save America. I wanted that, Jason, to be the incentive offer we give on this, our most important fundraising drive in 16 and a half years. NoWhiteGuilt.org, ladies and gentlemen, NoWhiteGuilt.org. That's the website where you can link into Jason Kuna and all of his great work with the After Party and all of the other outlets he's involved with. But Jason, your book, Crucible, that's the one we determined would be the incentive in this, our most important fundraising drive. Tell us why.
Well, I thank you so much, brother. And this could not be more important. You're absolutely correct. Now, the reason why Crucible is so valuable to people right now is because we are facing unprecedented challenges from the anti-white. The Biden administration has absolutely opened the floodgates exactly as we predicted it would be and would do. It has done so not just in the United States, but globally. In fact, they have moved globally quicker because the laws are different in other countries, and they are able to persecute and prosecute citizens a little bit more freely than they can in the United States. But make no mistake, that's coming here as well, as Biden runs out of ink in the Oval Office quicker than anybody has ever run out of ink. Now, with that being the case, we know that we're going to be suffering these challenges. They're going to be legal challenges. They're going to be lawsuits. They're going to be a defense attorney fees. They're going to be bank account losses. They're going to be, as you see, the demonetization, the deplatforming, the making all of the process by which that we bring a helpful, salubrious, wholesome, renewing message to our brothers and sisters across the United States, across the South, around the world. Every single link in that chain is going to be made more difficult by the entire machinery of the United States government and the other governments of the West. That means that we are going to have to keep our chest out, our chin up, our shoulders back, and we are going to have to be men of the West, men and women of the West who will meet the challenge of the day as the anti-whites pour it on. And I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to be able to sit around anymore and just talk about how awful it is, ain't it bad, eat, meat, retreat every single day. What has been the movement for too many damn years, and we all know that that's the case. Well, what happens in Crucible, Child Patriot American Victory, is the true story of when I was in junior high school, 7th and 8th grade, the once great state of Virginia, and by God, we'll make it great again, 11 to 13 years of age, and I was innocent. I stepped up in this environment wanting to know what exactly was going on in this world. It definitely seemed like the administration, it definitely seemed like the teachers, it definitely seemed like those making my cartoons and the television shows we watched and movies we watched were angling to victimize our people. But I didn't know for sure. I had to ask. And so I innocently probed my teachers, the staff at the school, and discovered to my horror that indeed their objective was to inflict harm on us and our people. There was no other conclusion that one could arrive at, and that they used all of these arguments just as pretext, as cover to arrive at that victimization. So I went through a period of having to struggle, and this is a microcosm of everybody's macrocosmic existence. Not only that in their adulthood, but not only that, everyone will see their childhood in this book. They will see when they turn around by reading through Crucible, when they turn around where they stand now today, those demons, those eidolons who are following them through their lives, those oral threats when they were in school will come back to them. Those physical threats when they were children will come back to them. Those things that have been haunting them and keeping them down in life will come back to them. And they will see that even when I was a child, I was able to make a decision and then fail. Make a decision to stand up for our people and then become afraid. Make a decision to be brave, even though I was scared. And I waxed and I waned in that decision, in that courage, but ultimately I stuck with it. I had to defend myself orally and very often physically when I was attacked physically by anti-whites students at the school, which was a school known for fighting, since it was way ahead of its time, and they stopped punishing students for fighting because there was a little bit of disproportionate punishment there between the different groups of students. So they decided to just get rid of the punishment. And in the end, though, this is an inspiring story that will take you through your life. If you lived in the West over the past 50, 60 years, this will take you an inspiring story through what you experience in smaller or larger doses than you will see in the pages of that story. You will see my angst. You will see my tears. You will see that I was a star athlete and I had the opportunity to leave all of the love and sacrifice for our people behind and just be the star athlete and have that acclaim and have the attention of the girls, which was newly developing in me. But I decided to stick with who and what I am, as many of these listeners right now who love this station, who love these two men that are speaking to them every single week and need them to keep speaking to them, have that same spirit inside of them, and they heed that call. And they will see that if you stick with it, and you can have the courage the same way that a child had the courage 11 to 13 years of age, that you can win in your adulthood just as I won there, a microcosm for the victory of the macrocosm in which we struggle today.
NoWhiteGuilt.org, Jason Kuna, the great Jason Kuna. If you want his book, you can get it. $100 donation will trigger it here in this, our first quarter fundraising drive of 2021. You'll have to give it by check, though, because we've been deplatformed off the face of the earth. Jason, I love you. I appreciate you. You're my brother.
The often imitated, but never duplicated.
He is incredible. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Food and Drug Administration has granted an emergency use authorization to Johnson & Johnson's one-shot COVID vaccine, adding another vaccine to the efforts to fight the coronavirus. The federal government expects to be able to distribute 4 million doses next week, though supplies will be limited for a time. Dr. Esther Chu is a professor of emergency medicine at the Oregon Health and Science University and tells CNN that the convenience of a one-dose vaccine is a big benefit.
So it doesn't need to be stored at these ultra-cold temperatures. It is a single dose. It's been such a challenge to get even a single dose to many people. Signing up for a second one, keeping track of that, getting transportation is just a huge barrier for many Americans. And then, of course, in harder-to-reach places, including rural America, it's just been a huge logistical challenge with the mRNA vaccines. So Johnson & Johnson provides a really important tool in our arsenal.
This is USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow premium pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special from Mike Lindell. A standard or queen-size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King-size pillows, only $5 more. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package is now in the hands of the Senate after being passed by the House early Saturday morning. The Senate version is not expected to include a hike to the federal minimum wage after the Senate parliamentarian determined the bill could not include that wage increase under the budget reconciliation rules. Speaking from the White House Saturday, the president urged the Senate to take swift action on the measure, calling the bill vital to relieving suffering in the country.
Now the bill moves to the United States Senate, where I hope we'll receive quick action. We have no time to waste. If we act now, decisively, quickly, and boldly, we can finally get ahead of this virus. We can finally get our economy moving again. And the people of this country have suffered far too much for too long. We need to relieve that suffering. The American Rescue Plan does just that. It relieves the suffering. And it's time to act.
This is USA Radio News.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you. I learned my lesson in the scar. Now I see how you really are. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good.
Something, ladies and gentlemen, my dad was a big Linda Ronstadt fan, and Linda Ronstadt back in her day, who could deny, politics notwithstanding, that she looked pretty good. My favorite Linda Ronstadt song with the Stone Ponies, Different Drum, that was written by Mike Naismith of the Monkees, if you can believe it. That is a great song, one of the best songs ever. Go check out Different Drum, written by Mike Naismith of the Monkees, performed by Linda Ronstadt. But we're talking about You're No Good with Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan, he only has something important to say with a little comic relief, which we need at the end of a hard show, and never one harder than tonight. Jack, how are you? And thank you for the recommendation.
I'm doing just great. But just to clarify, that was actually a Sheryl Crow cover of the Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, that's right. That wasn't Linda Ronstadt herself, but that was Sheryl Crow covering Linda.
One, but it sounds probably too much like Linda Ronstadt. I think when you cover something, you should bring your own arrangement.
I will recommend our audience, Jack, to YouTube to find Carrie Underwood's rendition of Different Drum by Linda Ronstadt. Sometimes The cover isn't quite as good. Sometimes it's better. There was Carrie Underwood's cover of Different Drum. Check it out. That's a great song. Anyway,
like
Jack,
Carrie
why are we playing
lot.
You're No Good?
Well, it's just sort of commenting about the general state of affairs. It's now during a CPAC, which is the establishment, quote, conservative group. They run some conference, and they're always trying to blacklist anybody that ever says anything honest about Western civilization, anybody that ever mentions illegal immigration or Black Lives Matter riots or these terrible neoconservative Zionist wars. So it's the annual conference of this terrible get-together. It's really torture. I really would just rather just go to an open black gang meeting of people than to do these cowardly conservative.
It's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It feels so good when it stops.
Just torture that they've got on. I mean, apparently Trump gets to go there, but it's just embarrassing. There's a lot of good writers in the alternative right that write about it. Tacky Mag and the like, and we still have people, and it's real expensive. They make people shell out like $100 to go listen to these conservatives, and it's just torture. And so that's sort of my song about that. And we really should be setting up alternative conferences for idealistic young people that go there, and we should be able to say, you know, these guys are just shills to the system, and we should have something else where we can have real people, could meet real speakers like James Edwards or John Derbyshire, Peter Brimlow. We should have it, but you know, what's your choice? You're a college student, you're in a left-wing, leftist, politically indoctrination. You say, oh, there's this conservative conference. Oh, isn't that great? You get to go there, and you got all these meetings, and you're like, gee, no one's saying anything of any importance of any kind, and you just kind of wondered what happens. Am I in a Twilight Zone meeting or something? Like, what's going on? So that's my music. It's no good. It's really not good. I wish I was there.
Jack.
throwing rotted vegetables at the speakers.
We got to get together, buddy. We got to get you down here. We got to get up there to Chicago. I want to. You know, we had snow here like a Chicagoan a week ago. Now it's like 70 degrees. Yeah. We got to get back up to Chicago. I want to go back up to Chicago where I can find snow maybe. But, hey, listen, you're talking about conferences. As we speak, as you are live on the air right now, so some people may listen to this in the archives tomorrow or a week from now or whenever. But as we speak right now live on the radio, the word Nazi is trending on Twitter. So I clicked on it, of course, and it's talking about the CPAC conference. The CPAC, which are basically the cuck pack. It's a collection of moderate Democrats that come together and have this conference every year. Well, the Hyatt Regency in Orlando was the venue for cuck pack this year. And so they are being lambasted as being a venue that hosted a Nazi gathering, Nazi CPAC. I mean, this is what we're up against, Jack. I'll tell you, people have been to the authentic, genuine article. That is a political cesspool conference, and we know how to hold them. And, Jack, at our last political cesspool conference, you and I shared the microphone as we sang before the gathered attendees, "How Great Thou Art," and we had a great time, and you've been to several of our conferences, and it's you know, a wonderful gathering every time. But to have CPAC associated with Nazism, that goes to show, and we've talked about it earlier tonight, how far gone the establishment is, how far gone the regime media is. They're losing their grip on whites. We will win, and we're going to win.
That's a good way to look at it. Other way to look at it is just that American politics, popular culture, movies and TVs really suck. That's why I spent 6 months last year being in Africa. I'm looking to find some other place to bug out to. Try to find some place where there's some women are a little friendlier than these miseducated women from Yale Law School that seem to infest our cities, normal cities. And I like, you hear the stories about Smith College, like out there they're going in. I'm from a Smith family. My mom went to Smith College, and both my grandmothers went to Smith College. That was back in the day when these were the Northeast Midwestern Christian people. They were kind of scared about getting women to college and stuff, but they'd have women's college, and they'd look after it to see that the girls were educated but traditional. And it's just, boy, they've just gone to just a total pot, and just horrible.
It's a hotbed of lesbianism now.
It sure is. It really is. And then it's just some sad. Some gals that were my age that went there, including a cousin, and these were just regular nice gals, and they just didn't really know what was going on, and they didn't, you know, they ended up being spinsters is really what happened. So, some rough places in the country, you know, around the world. So, but
they've advanced since then. If they went there now, they would come out as lesbians.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, they push a lot of it. It's, I don't know if it's percentage wise, but it's just sort of dominant and it dominates. And so, if you're just a regular woman, you have to walk on eggshells. The same that you and I going to these establishments. But I went to Vanderbilt University when it was a Southern school. And now my alumni magazine is unreadable. It is woke. They got some guy, Dykeson is the guy, and he's in critical race theory. And so they're putting him on. He's got some professorship at Vanderbilt. The baseball team is still good, but I think they're looking to abolish all traditional fraternities and sororities. So they used to say Vanderbilt was the Harvard of the South. And I was there like, good God, I sure hope not. But, yeah, now it is the Harvard of the South. And it's our institutions, they get... You know, you don't watch what's going on. Next thing you know, it's gone, it's taken over, and they're all on the same circuit. They get a degree one way, they can go from University of California, Berkeley, University of Chicago to Vanderbilt. But we don't want to be overwhelmed with negativity, and I'm not. There's good things happening. It's just not happening in politics or in academia.
Well, true enough. I tell you what, Vanderbilt has a special dark part in my life. I remember applying for law school there, and I was Phi Beta Kappa from Rhodes College. I made a 170 out of 180 on the LSAT, but I wasn't accepted, wasn't even put on the waiting list. But meanwhile, a black kid from my senior class who had below a 150 on the LSAT and below a 2.5 grade point average got in. So that was 73. Wow. That was a long time ago. This affirmative action.
Of course, Anderson Cooper is the heir of the Gloria Vanderbilt estate, which, of course, the university gets its name. And yeah, it is the Ivy right. League of the South, such as
see,
it were.
See, like, Senator Jim Eastland's son, Woods Eastland, went there, and in 1967, he won the Bachelor of Ugliness Award. I don't know if they still had it there. When you were there, that's for the outstanding senior man. But he said afterwards, he said, I went to Vanderbilt because my father wanted me to. Really, I would have preferred to have gone to Ole Miss.
Well, they were, I mean, it still was a Southern school. They had the tradition of the Southern agrarians, the traditional historian. My critique of Vanderbilt then is that they had a lot of really rich students that just weren't serious students. And so to try to hang out on a fraternity sorority row with pink and green sorority, it was like torture. And that's one of the reasons that people go for leftist politics or stuff. You just really couldn't go for that. But I've gone back. I've kept in touch with the university. We have a good alumni network. And I mean, what are you going to do? What universities have stayed traditional, or you can get? University of Chicago held out for a really, really long time. But I've seen some dreadful things this year. The new president was some Our kind liberties. Of chancellor from Our UCal faith. Berkeley.
We got to take a time out. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that gospel highway. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that gospel road. How his pillow was a stone where he laid his head. How the hungry 5,000 on the hill were fed. How the people came and listened to him, everything he said. walking down that gospel road. The desire of ages now had finally come, born to walk upon that gospel highway, born of a virgin down in Bethlehem, born to walk upon that gospel road. And life would begin at the touch of his hand. The people would listen to him throughout the land, for never a man spoke like this man, walking down that gospel road.
Well, Keith, that's the great Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash would have never been ashamed to pose with the Confederate flag that hangs behind you right now as we broadcast live. The Confederate flag is with us every show we've ever done here on TBC for the last 16 and a half years. Why did you recommend that particular song for this particular broadcast?
Well, there's a verse in it that says they died from the blades and the spears of men, said they died and two men would replace each one, you know, or something like this. That's got to be our movement. We've got to continue on like the followers of Christ. This is the whole thing about the gospel highway is the road to Emmaus, where Jesus manifested himself, that he had indeed risen from the dead, you know, 40 days after the death at Calvary, that he had died and come back to life. So, see, I would recommend that song to anyone. It's really a good, simple synopsis of the gospel message and the appropriate scriptural verses that backs it all up.
Well, thank you for that, Keith, for that recommendation tonight. And that brings us back to Jack Ryan, who has a challenge to offer the audience this evening. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we so often say, there are very few organizations or individuals that we would present to our audience as those worthy of support. And any that we do, we want to make sure that before we ask you to support them, that we are first supporting them ourselves. And that has always been the case. That has been the litmus of any organization or individual we've ever promoted on this show. We support them first, financially, spiritually, morally, however you want to do it. That's the kind of show we are. And that includes when we ask you to donate to this particular radio program. Do you know, and I think you should, we donate to this show? The very hosting staff and crew, we donate financially to this show because we don't want to ask you to do something that we are not willing to do for ourselves. Now, Jack Ryan is one of our regularly quarterly donors, and he is a generous donor. He offers his talents for free. He always has something interesting to say, some interesting recommendations to offer, and of course some comic relief, which we like to bring at the end of a hard show to balance out the broadcast. Jack Ryan also is a financial contributor to this show and a generous one every quarter, and he offers a challenge to you tonight. Jack, thank you for that, and take it away.
Okay, well, I wanted to challenge our listeners, hopefully some of my fans, I hope I have a few, to donate to the show, and I will match it. You know, we'll see how much we can go in, but I'm sort of like one of these dancers that's got to pay to dance. You know, you got to put in. So to be on the show, I'm going to pay to be on the show.
Is this a lap dance?
that's the comic early we're talking about, folks.
But we really do, because our enemies have just—they're cruel, and they've taken away. We would get regular sponsors. I did see we have a new sponsor, that pillow one. I'm pretty happy about it. But we could. I think James is as talented as Rush Limbaugh. I think he's entertaining. He's clever. But James hasn't taken the 30 pieces of silver. He doesn't just, you know, shrill for the Bush family, for Mitt Romney, for the Republican Party. He doesn't support these terrible, lying neoconservative wars. And when you tell the truth and you stand up for our people, you're going to pay a price. You're not going to get super rich and we're going to cut off. So we who love this show, we have to do some contributors, and we have to be like PBS and get our listeners to help support the one. So I'm doing that tonight. I'm challenging our listeners. Hopefully I've got some fans and that they could match the one, and I'll match it to there. So we need to keep the political cesspool on the show. We need to make it, you know, just a decent donation. It doesn't have to be tens of thousands, but, you know, maybe give $25, $30 or something like that, cut back on some other non-necessity to try to keep the show on the air. And we're doing good things, but we don't take the 30 pieces of silver, and we don't shrill for our enemies.
Well, Jack, thank you for saying that. Thank you for your offer, and thank you for the support you've given, not just in terms of your talent, which you always volunteer to this show, and for the last couple of years. How long has it been now? I mean, time does fly. 3 or 4 years now.
Time flies when you're losing
a few months.
Elections, really.
it accentuates it.
Well, you better get used to it, because you're going to lose the rest of them until they.
I don't know about that, Keith.
Until they fix that electoral system.
Read
Clarence Thomas's dissent to the Supreme Court decision on the Pennsylvania case. And also, even better is Alito's. Read those.
Jack, you may regret your words. We just had $200,000 worth of contributions come in the last 60 seconds.
Sheldon Adelson called back from the grave.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. But no, we did have a listener in the Nashville area say, and I quote, we just have an email here right now. Hang on. Let me pull it back up. Hang on just a second. Tell Jack I'm taking him up on this challenge. $325. That is like the fourth biggest contribution we've ever received. No, but that's a big one. Well, thank you, Rich, for that. And listen, Rich is a regular contributor. Hey, but Jack, listen, we thank you, and we thank you for your talent and for your offer and for the financial contributions you give every quarter. That's the thing I want people to know, and I got to accentuate this point. I give to the show. I founded the show. I'm the host of the show. I financially contribute to this show, because I wouldn't feel right asking you to do it if I wasn't already doing it. Now, why are we spending so much time tonight talking about it? Well, because we've been deplatformed to hell. We've been deplatformed off the face of the earth. We've been deplatformed to hell.
And cast into the outer darkness.
And so you got to send a check. And there's one thing that we don't like to think about, and we've never asked for, but you can leave a legacy to TPC. None of us are going to make it out of this world alive.
There are no caskets with luggage compartments.
That's right. So think about us when you write out your last will and testament. You want to leave a bequest to TPC. We've never once in 16 and a half years asked for it, but if the enemy is going to up their game to this level, we'll up our game another level. There are people who we want you to take care of your spouses and your children and your friends and your family first, but if there's a little left over, we can do a little with a lot. Or we can do a lot with a little. We can do a lot with a little.
We can do a little with a lot, huh?
Any way you want.
That's a Freudian slip.
We can do a lot with a little. And listen, folks, even just a few hundred dollars in your will. Listen, I can get Keith. Keith has a hernia. We're telling all kinds of truths tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Our time with Steve King, our time with Trump administration officials you didn't even know about. Keith has a hernia. I bet I could get him to do a jumping jack for $100. I bet I could get Keith to do a somersault for $500. And that's for...
Well, I'm available to be rented out to dance with old widows. I'm getting good at partner dancing, so if you got any rich old widows that need an escort to be taken out, like on dancing there, I'll sign up for that. I'm getting good at this salsa dancing.
Well, how much would that be worth to you, Jack? I mean, everything's for sale now. I mean, in this age of deplatforming.
That reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield's famous joke about it. He said, I get no respect for my wife. He said, I remember when I was dating her, she gave me the air after 6 months. I said, what is it? Is there another man? She said, there's got to be.
Keith can always pull up a Rodney Dangerfield quote for comic relief. But hey, listen, Jack, listen. We're all in this together. We're a band of brothers. This is it. This is where we're at. And so that's okay. Listen, I'm not sweating it. I knew about this. We got deplatformed officially on February the 3rd. I knew about this a week in advance of that. So going back to the end of January, I've known about this. We have not yet made mention of it to the audience until tonight. So it would coincide with our regularly scheduled first quarter fundraising drive. They throw at us what they can throw at us. We'll throw back at them what we can throw back at them. I think our audience is stronger than them. I think our audience is more loyal than them. I think our audience is better than them. I think we're going to come out of this stronger than them. And that's where we're at. And, Jack, I want to tell you.
Let them show exactly how bad they are. It's like a rope-a-dope, like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope strategy. What they've done over the past several years since Charlottesville, we haven't been activists at all. We've sat back and let them show to the rest of the world just how much they hate white people.
Well, I would rather stand with Sam Bushman, Keith Alexander, our staff and crew, and you, Jack Ryan. Come what may, whether it's the end of us or whether it's the beginning of a stronger, more potent TPC, I'll stand and die with you, Jack. I'm so thankful to have you as a part of this crew. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for not calling me again.
Well, we're on to have
you. For like about a year and a half. That's really
you're an honorary Confederate.
That's right. He is a true copperhead, and he balances out the show. Jack, we love you. I'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you actually in a few minutes. I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Hey, we'll be back with you next week, folks. We'll be here at least that long. Write a check. You got to write a check. We can't take your contributions online anymore. Fight back by writing a check.
Defeat cancer with a check up and a check, as they said back in the 50s.
And Jack and everybody else, I'm James. We'll see you next week. The March Around the World on TPC, our special series, begins next week. Stay tuned for that. Good night. Godspeed.